Now, if you will, let us open our Bibles to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. And I'm going to begin my reading today in verse 19 and read through the end of the chapter. But before I read these verses, I would like to say this. The Apostle Paul met with the elders of the church at Ephesus for the last time, and this is recorded in Acts chapter 20. And the elders of the church knew, and Paul knew, this was the last time that they would ever meet, they would ever see each other's face in this world. And the Apostle was able to say unto them, I have kept back nothing that was profitable unto thee, that he had not shunned to declare unto them all the counsel of God. That is what every man that is called of God to preach the gospel strives to do. And I trust that the last time that I come into this pulpit, that I too will be able to say the same, that I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, that I had not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God. So let's begin reading this morning in Luke chapter 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, nay, Father Abraham. But if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. These words that I've just read, that you've followed along with me as I've read them, I would remind us are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the words of him who is love incarnate. Because the scripture says, God is love, and the Lord Jesus Christ, he is both God and man. These are his words, and yet this one, who, as I said, is the God of all mercy in flesh, that he spoke these words about hell. And I know that all of us are agreed that these are very solemn words. Words which speak to us of the experiences of two men, their experience in this world and their experience in the world which is to come. Now, as all of the Word of God is the Word of God, any passage of Scripture may be spoken from, preached from many times, and different truths will be emphasized. But this morning, I have four truths from this passage of Scripture that I would like all of us to think about. First of all, the truth about things. The truth about things. Both of these men had things. Both of them had things, very different things. That's true, but both of them had things. The truth about things. Now let's look at the things which the rich man had first. He had four things that are mentioned in this passage. First of all, his clothes. His clothes. They were the finest. They were the finest. The Scripture says he was clothed in purple and fine linen. People might say today he only wore those clothes that were the name brands. He shopped at the best places. That's the first thing that we are told that he had. He had the finest of clothes, dressed in fine linen. The second thing that he had food. Very sumptuous, very good food, the finest of food as well. The Scripture here tells us our Lord said he fared well every day. There never was a day that there was not a banquet feast set upon his table. And then the third thing that we see that he had a gate. He had a gate which kept people out, let people in. He had a gate that he owned. No doubt a gate that led up to his beautiful mansion. He was a rich man. And the fourth thing that we find that this man had, he had a large family. Because he told Abraham, I have five brethren. So he had a large family. Those are the things that we are told that this man had. And then the things that Lazarus had. Really, there's only one thing here mentioned that Lazarus had. And that was the sores on his body. Now we assume, and I think rightly so, that he had clothes. But probably they were more like rags, because after all, his occupation was that of a beggar. No doubt he dressed the part, not by choice, but that's all he had. They were not glad rags. They were rags, no doubt, but not glad rags. And then as far as food, we know that he did desire at least the food, the crumbs, which fell from the rich man's table. But the only thing he had that we are told in this passage of Scripture, the only thing the Lord said he had was sores. And he only had dogs to attend unto his sores. Now we may assume he had a family. We're not told that, but we are told that someone laid him at the gate of this rich man every day. So he had someone who carried him or brought him somehow to the gate of the rich man. And I want you to notice, if you will, my friend, what the Lord Jesus Christ said that Abraham said about these things. What he told this rich man about the things which he had and the things which the beggar had. If you notice in verse 25, but Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things. And I want you to notice it said he received these things. He was given these things. And you know, the Bible tells us to whom much is given, much is required. And how few people really recognize that everything we have is a gift from God. the wealth, if it's good things, that's what Abraham said to him, you received your good things in your life. But now, Lazarus, evil things, not morally evil, but we would probably use the word bad rather than evil. You received good things in your lifetime, and he received bad things in his lifetime. Their lifetime was now ended in this world. The rich man's life was ended, and so his relationship with the things that he had was ended. The fine clothes, the good food, the gate to keep enemies out, let friends in, and the Lord's family. His relationship with those things, the things of this world, were now ended. And the things were ended that the beggar had also, that Lazarus had. The Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 12 tells us another parable, or a parable rather. I don't believe this that we are looking at today is a parable, because the Lord said a certain rich man and a certain beggar, even calling his name. But in Luke chapter 12, our Lord does tell about a parable that involved a rich man. And this man, a rich man, was evidently a farmer, and his farm produced so much. The crop was so great, a bumper crop one year. I mean, it was just a bumper crop. And as he looked at all of the fruit and all of the crop, he was determined, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down these barns, and I'm going to build bigger barns. And then when I do, this is what I'm going to say to my soul. He determined to say this to his soul. Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He determined to say that to his soul, but the Lord said he never got the opportunity. He never got the opportunity because God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be? The truth about things. The truth about things, whether they be what one called good or evil, is we will all leave them. We will all leave them. All of us will be able shortly to say, like Job said, I shall go the way whence I shall not return. And when that time comes, then our relationship to all these things will be ended. You know, Paul said this about things. He said, things seen are temporal, but things unseen are eternal. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. Let me ask you this. Have you learned the truth about things? Have I learned the truth about things? The truth that things can never satisfy. They can never satisfy a man's soul. God has created man in such a way, my friends, that the things of this world, the temporal things, things which may be seen, can never satisfy the soul. Only God can fill that void that is in the soul of all men. And I've noticed this about myself and about others as well, that you never have enough things. No matter how many things you have. And you can imagine at my age how many things I've accumulated over the years. And yet we're still wanting things. Things. Have we learned the truth about things? I pray that God would teach me that truth. But here's the second truth. The truth about death. The truth about death. Have you ever noticed this little word also here in this passage? If you look with me again in verse 22, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man," now notice, "the rich man also died and was buried." Most likely no one was surprised when they noticed that the beggar had died. After all, they knew he was sick with his sores and probably couldn't afford doctor or medicine. But they may have been somewhat surprised when they heard that the rich man also died. Rich man could afford the best medical help that was available at that time. And besides that, he lived on the other side of a gate that he owned that kept undesirables out. But there was one enemy that that gate could not keep outside, and that was the enemy of death. The truth about death is that it comes to all, rich and poor. Death came into this world by sin, and that's the reason death comes unto all. The wages of sin is death. Just as our father Adam died that very day that he sinned, that he disobeyed God, he died spiritually that day. Yes, he lived on physically for several hundreds of years, but he died physically. And all men shall die, rich and poor. There have been only two cases. Only two men have escaped this world without dying. That is Enoch, the seventh from Adam. The scriptures tell us Enoch walked with God and Enoch was not, for the Lord took him. And then the prophet Elijah. Remember how that the Lord took him up in a chariot of fire. But even both of those men, though they escaped dying, they had to undergo some change, no doubt. Much like is going to take place when the Lord comes again. Because, as the Apostle Paul said in that passage in 1 Corinthians 15, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And so both Enoch and Elijah went through some change. You know, Paul says that when the Lord comes again, it's for those who are alive and remain, those who are living, God's people who are alive. If Christ were to come today, those who are alive, we would be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Yes, death comes to all. But I want to tell you something about death, and I know you probably know this, but I'll remind us of this. Death doesn't change a person. It does change a person's location, no doubt about that. The rich man, he lived in a mansion, and death came, and now he had changed locations. He was in hell. Lazarus had lived the life of a poor man, and he died, and he changed locations. He was now carried into Abraham's bosom. And remember, that was the way the Jews, or term rather, that the Jews used for what we know as heaven. So yes, they changed locations, but their state didn't change. You know, it seems to me just as soon as a person dies, no one likes to speak bad of a dead person, and I'm sure that's good. But just as soon as a person dies, the world has a different view of that person automatically. No one wants to speak bad of the dead, and because I'm sure most people have been convinced that God loves everyone, that they must be okay. They must be okay no matter what they believed or what they didn't believe. No matter who they served or who they didn't serve, no matter what they loved and what they didn't love, they're in a better place. How many times have I heard that? They've gone to a better place. That seems to be the common lot of everyone who dies today. Well, let me tell you something. That wasn't what our Lord Jesus Christ said about this rich man. No one would say that he was now in a better place. He didn't say that. He said, I'm tormented in these flames. Death doesn't change a person. This is what the Bible declares. And that is not what this man experienced. In fact, the scripture says in Revelation 22 and verse 11, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. You say, what does that mean? What's that verse of scripture saying? Well, it simply says this. He that dies unjustified, he will always be unjustified. He who dies having never been justified by God Almighty, justified by the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, he who dies trusting in his own works, in his religion, in his creed, in anything and everything other than Jesus Christ our Lord, he that is unjust when he dies, let him be unjust still throughout all eternity. He that is filthy, what does that mean? He who has never been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. You say, well, what does that mean, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? It means cleansed through the person and work, the suffering and sacrifice, the death of Jesus Christ. Oh, the prophet of old, God speaking through him, said, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. In Zechariah, that Old Testament prophet by the name of Zechariah, God tells about opening up a fountain. A fountain that God opened in that day. And it is a fountain not for show, but my friends, it's a fountain in which sinners may be washed white as snow. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Didn't just cleanse us in the past, it continually cleanses us from all sin. But if a person dies unwashed, filthy, let him be filthy still throughout all eternity. And the same thing is true about the righteous. He that is righteous, he that is dressed, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. That's perfect righteousness. That's righteousness that God accepts. Not only accepts, but he says he's well pleased with this righteousness. The righteousness of he that is righteous, he that is looking to Christ, trusting in Christ for all his righteousness. Not most of it. All his righteousness. Let him be righteous still, righteous throughout all eternity. One day, when we see him, we shall be made like him. He that is holy, set apart, sanctified by the Spirit of God, let him be holy throughout all eternity. Now, it is true that one of these men was in a better place, but not the other. That's not true when all men die. Don't listen to that. Don't be guilty of saying that about someone you have no idea what he believed, who he loved, who he served, that somehow just because he died or she died, they're in a better place? Have we learned the truth about death? Here's the truth I would encourage us to learn today. It will leave you as it finds you. When death comes, and it's going to come to you, it's going to come to me, some of us sooner than others, but it's going to come. And when it does, it's going to leave you exactly as it finds you. If it finds you accepted in the Beloved, it's going to leave you accepted in the Beloved. But if it finds you outside of Christ, your lot is going to be the same as this man. Now the third truth that I would emphasize from this passage is about the Word of God. The Word of God. And I would point this out to us. The rich man, even in hell, thought he knew more about God's way of saving sinners than Abraham did. Abraham was a saved sinner. He believed God, and it was imputed, counted unto him for righteousness. That's what the Scripture says about Abraham. But this man, even in hell, he argued with Abraham about how God saves sinners. Hearing the Word of God, hearing Moses and the prophets, well, that's not good enough. That's what he said. That's not good enough. And yet that's God's way. But no, this man argues something better than that is a miracle. A miracle. If my five brothers, if they saw Lazarus, they knew Lazarus, they saw him laying there at my gate, if he would rise from the dead and go back, they would believe. In other words, he says, a miracle is what they need. A miracle. But God, you know, God works miracles, and there's miracles every day if a person has eyes to see them. The birth of a baby. I know some men, they've watched the birth of their children, and they've all told me the same thing. What a miracle. What a miracle. It's just, if a person has eyes to see, yes. But the generation that God delivered out of Egypt, think of all the miracles that they saw. The miracle of the flies, the miracle of the frogs, the miracle of the darkness, and the miracle of the water turned to blood, and just so on, so on, so on. And then the miracle of that time, the miracle, the Red Sea opening up, and they walked through on dry land. And yet, did you know that everyone above 20 years of age of that generation, except two men, they all saw those miracles, but they all died in the wilderness. Why? Unbelief. Unbelief. No, God's way of saving sinners is still the same. It is go into all the world. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Whosoever believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Whosoever believeth not shall be damned. God's way of saving sinners has always been the same, the preaching of His gospel. God has chosen the foolishness of preaching. Faith cometh by hearing, the Apostle Paul said, and hearing by the Word of God. Let me read a passage of Scripture. You may want to turn to 2 Timothy with me just a moment. 2 Timothy. But this is so important that we see and hear this again. Because, you see, we live in a day when people think they're like this rich man. They can improve on God's way. They know better than God. They've given up on preaching the Word, using the Word. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Now notice, preach the Word. Preach the Word, Timothy. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now notice, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Oh, we don't. Preacher, prophesy unto us smooth things. How that God's too good to send people to hell. Smooth things that God's not angry with the wicked every day, even though the Word of God declares that He is. Prophesy unto us smooth things. Paul told Timothy, the day's going to come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Itching ears, wanting to hear something new, something different. Listen, the gospel hasn't changed, and it never shall change. Tell me the old, old story of Jesus and of His love. Yes, preach the Word, Timothy, Can't we see that in our day? And I'd ask you and I today, have we learned the truth about the Word of God? Do we prize the Word of God? You know, Job said this about God's Word. He said, I have esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. If we really have learned the truth about the importance of God's Word, how God has chosen to use His Word, we'll read the Word, we'll hear the Word preached, and we'll meditate upon God's Word. Now, in closing, here's my fourth truth, and I won't take long on this, although it's maybe the most important point, the truth about Christ. The truth about things, the truth about death, the truth about the Word of God, but the truth about Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the great divider of men. A rich man didn't go to hell because he was rich. Abraham was a very, very, very wealthy man, and yet he knew the Lord. He didn't go to hell because he was a rich man, and let me tell you something, Lazarus didn't go to heaven because he was a poor man. People have taught that, I know, but that's not true. There's one way to heaven. There's one way to the Father, and that way is Christ. Always has been and always will be. This is what He said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. The way is narrow, yes. It's narrow because Christ is the way. He is the only way. For Lazarus to go to heaven, and we know he did, our Lord said he did. He's there today. But let me tell you something. For Lazarus to go to heaven, he needed a righteousness that he could not perform. He needed a righteousness he could not offer up to God. And he needed a cleansing that he could not effect by his good works, by his good deeds, by his church affiliation, by baptism, or anything else man has come up with. That righteousness and that cleansing is found in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. Have we learned the truth about Christ? Who He is? He's God-man. What He accomplished? He finished the work which the Father gave Him to do. Where He is? He's at the Father's right hand. And He's there making reconciliation, or making intercession, rather, for all who come unto God by Him. Well, there's four truths, my friends, that I would impress upon us today from this passage of Scripture. Four truths. And I pray that God would give each one of us the grace to learn these truths and to take them to heart. You know, I was blessed this morning. Someone sent me a passage of Scripture. Let me read it before Bill comes to sing. We're going to sing hymn number 58, Jesus, the Very Thought of Thee. But someone sent me a text a little while ago, and they said, these words were brought to my heart this morning. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know you that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. What a blessing. I texted back and said, what a beautiful and blessed passage of Scripture the Lord has given you to start your day with today. And to start our day with. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord, right? Be thankful unto Him today. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. And we are so because He has made us so. Well, Bill's going to come, and I encourage you to join in with us now to sing number 58, Jesus, the Very Thought of Thee.